is not even about the sons of God. It's about God, the creator of all things. You know, the sons still don't know all that Dad knows. Do you know that? They haven't lived long enough. They don't have the experience that Dad has. And so all they do is take Dad into another generation. And if they'll listen, Dad's still alive, isn't he? Even in the next generation. Come on, beloved. Got to tell you this. I am excited. I really am excited about the Lord. And I'm excited about you guys. Don't forget the hayride. We had a good time with Dale and Fran, ministered to the people, and they wanted me to be there Sunday. I said, I can't do it. Not yet. But I must tell you, it's time to begin to act like Daddy. Time to begin to step in his footsteps. See, one thing about a boy, Dad's walking along like this, and they're going, boom, boom, trying to get into his footsteps. Hallelujah. Because they know. Hallelujah. That's what they want to be. They got this example. And so Jesus, so God, hallelujah, took on the form of a man, born of a woman. If you can believe that, woman came out of man. We just need to think about some things here. God in essence is male and female, but yet, and in the spirit, there is no gender. There won't be that division. We'll find out that we need both parts to produce again. It won't happen any other way. You're going to be dependent on your brother because even though you've come to a place of completion, you're still in a place of need. Jesus. Hallelujah. Love you. It's just running in me, this God. He never shuts off. He just, you know, I got this, I guess I'd say it like this. I got my hard drive on all the time. It's tuned in to what are you trying to say, Father? If you'll do that, he will speak to you. Anytime he feels like it, in any place you might be. And he wants you to listen so that you can have your own way. He wants you to listen so you can do what he says for you to do. Because he won't tell you to do something you can't do. He won't. But he will tell you something that you can do. Listen to this. That he would do in that moment of time. Pretty cool. Now, for learning how to become sons. It will not be hard for us to say, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I'm going to give it to Helen a second. Do you know what just went through my brain spiritually? Not only that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, but that He might live through me, that He might live through you. As you let Him, He wants to do that. He lives inside of you. He wants to come out. No less God, no less power, no less demonstration than who He really is. And He wants to come out or show forth Himself in and through you in all kinds of ways. Because His heart is, He bought the whole creation, lock, stock, and barrel. And although you may know that you're the jewel that was hid in the field, and then that one that doesn't have any education, hasn't been born in any kind of a family of education, don't know where they're going to get their next meal, don't know who loves them or for what reason, they're also that pearl. Mighty God, hallelujah. You're a pearl of great price, beloved, and a value of economic structure. You're the most valuable economic substance in the whole universe. You are the most holy place now. Walking to and fro throughout the earth. Now seeking who He may save through you. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, Saturday, 6 o'clock, Deals Orchard. If everybody should know it, did anybody make a map of it? Does anybody, do you guys know where Deals is? Okay, it's off of White Lake. You got that little road there that just goes by White Lake. Just as soon as you get on Milford, or on Harvey Lake turns into Milford Road right there. Make a left-hand turn on White Lake, and just as soon as you turn, there will be a road going, or a right-hand lane, there will be a road going to the left. Make a left turn real quick, and you can't miss it then. Huh? Okay, it's Rose Center there, goes to White Lake on the other side. That's where. Yeah. I know it does. I know it does, honey. I understand that. I kind of understand geographics. If you stay on Rose Center, you'll go into White Lake on both ends. Praise the Lord. Just kind of jumped in the middle there somehow, made a little curve. But, yeah, real easy to get to. Praise the Lord.
Go to 1 Corinthians 6, McGinsey. And we'll probably start around verse 12 when I get going. But we've been talking about, you know, a government thing in the church, setting up a judgment if it needs to be. And we talked about, why don't you rather suffer the wrong instead of trying to get people, taking them to court and, You know, even if you don't take them to court, we always want to be right. Okay? That's part of your Adamic nature. Okay? It's not something that's actually very good, because defending yourself generally means you have a righteousness about you that you think is okay, and it may not be. And so it always behooves us to consult with God to find out what He would do or what He wants you to do in the situation. Like Pastor just said, He would want you to, if you listen to Him, He'd tell you what He would do. And we do have that thing about what would Jesus do, but we have to ask Him. We can't just assume what He would do. Just because He did it a certain way while He was on earth, He'd come up to a guy one time, He spit in his eye, one time He did something else. It was always what the Father told Him to do. And when I was thinking about this today, even more, I think there's even more to it than not reacting to the wrong that comes at you, but also reacting in a positive way. Okay? One example I always think about is right after 9/11, you know, we were mad at Afghanistan and we were going to go get bin Laden and et cetera, et cetera. And on the heels of that, there was that anthrax thing, right? So now we got two things to be mad at them about, because we think that they're the ones behind it. Turned out it wasn't. But at the time, we thought they were in on it. And so we sent our army over there and beat up the Taliban and all the stuff that happened. But something happened very extraordinary. And no country that I know of ever done this except the United States of America under a Christian heading. We dropped food on them. Remember that? President Bush sent over C-130s full of these little things, and they dropped food on them. Now, when Larry gets to Romans 12, we'll see that it says, do not return evil for evil, but return good for evil. And when you do that, what does it say you do? It says you heap coals of fire on that person. And all kind of people have said this and that, what it means. What it means is you're going to embarrass them. Okay? Here they've been treating you nasty, and you're treating them right. It embarrasses them into reacting different. Now, it may not take off right away, but it's the same principle as you turning your other cheek. If you slap somebody and your reaction to that is not to counterattack them, but to give them the other cheek, it embarrasses them. Okay? And the ironic thing about that whole thing is that that word for heaping coals of fire is the Greek word anthrax. So they anthrax you and you anthrax them back by putting food on them. So you see, there's a lot more to this absorbing, why don't you rather take the wrong? It's not just only sucking it up, but it's also putting back out something positive to them. So that they know that you have a reaction, just not just taking it, you know. You can take it and it burn you up. If you don't do it right, if you don't give it to God, if you don't absorb it in the Christ-like way, you know, it might be just worse than fighting them back. Because eventually that'll burn up and it'll explode out on them. But do something positive back. And you'll see. It may not jump right up like you expect it to the first time, but God's word doesn't return void. Right? It goes out with a purpose. It has to come back with that purpose fulfilled. It may take 20 years. So what? We're an eternal being. We don't have, we have to worry about time as much as we think. And so, when you think about that, Paul said that, you know, he had learned all this mighty stuff, but the Lord wanted to keep him humble, so he sent a, gave him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And he asked the Lord to take it away three times, he said. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. Now, that's a mouthful, because sometimes when we're in this situation, we don't always come up with that as the answer. But he wants us to learn these things and to react that way and to begin to become like him. Okay? One of the Beatitudes, the last one, it says they're gonna, you're going to be persecuted and all this stuff, and you're not going to return that evil, just like Paul said. And you, because you're not going to do that, you're going to be called a son of God. So I guess that means if we don't do it, we're not going to be called a son of God. But we don't want to be caught in that situation. We want to move forward in all this. What we're learning is not just restraint, but it's coming back to the person with the whole different 180 degree reaction to what they were going to expect you to do. You hit me in the jaw, I'm going to hit you in the jaw. That's what they expect. You're not going to do that. You're going to react in a positive way that tells them that there's a love in you for them, which they didn't know. And so we have to demonstrate it. We can't just say we do something. We have to go and do something positive so that they just, it's going to spin their head. So, going along in that line and what Pastor just said about when you're a child, you do childish things. You want to get your way. You know, if somebody comes against what you had in mind to do, why, you're going to just throw a fit. Hold your breath, whatever you do, pound yourself on the floor. If we keep doing that into our 30s, we might end up in jail, because the things you do magnify, and the next thing you know, you're in trouble with somebody, just not your parents. And so, you know, that's a thing we have to learn. But think about this. There's a lot of things. What Paul says here, he says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Okay? There's a lot of things that are lawful for you to do. There's nothing wrong with them. But maybe it gives somebody, a younger Christian or some, throws them off. And once you learn that, are you going to keep doing it in front of that person just because it's lawful for you to do? Well, there's a thing in here called love. Do you love that person enough to turn off that thing that for you is okay to do, but it's going to bother them? And it's hard to come up always with examples, but just think of a husband and wife. You want to hug your wife, you want to do this to her, she wants to do that. Not in front of the children. Right? Have you ever heard that? Not in front of the children. Why? It's not appropriate in front of them. Okay? You're married. It's lawful to do. But not everything is lawful to do in front of everybody. It may not even be children. Some of these things are in your privacy, not out in public. Okay? So you think of that. I can't remember her name now. Maybe you guys remember, but the sister that went to Grace Emanuel, older lady, a little bit heavy, and she limped, I remember. She had glasses. And if I heard her name, I'd know her. Remember, we used to have to drive down from this area down to Detroit every Sunday, and we'd stay for either go out and eat and come back to church, or we'd all get together, Dale and us, and we'd bring our food and eat there. Remember that? And then we'd wait for night church. We'd spend the whole day there together. And that lady, one day we brought some nice, juicy pork chops. And she wasn't upset with us, but she was like, she didn't think people should eat pork. I thought that was just Jews and Islamic people, but she didn't think you should eat pork. So what do I do? Do I come to church every Sunday and go, ha ha, it's lawful for me. I'm going to have some barbecue, you know. No. I made it a point that we didn't bring pork. It's no big thing. And, you know, you say, well, that binds you up. No. It only binds me up if I'm brought under the power of it. Okay? So I decided, as long as she was there, we weren't going to bring pork. It didn't hurt nothing. But, you know, if it was going to cause her to stumble, okay, because you don't realize people are looking sometimes for an excuse even. If you don't measure up, well, then I don't have to measure up. If you don't do what's right, then I don't have to do what's right. Now I just made a weaker person to stumble. Okay? Yeah. I got a grandson that I've been moved to the end of the table now that we have extra people to eat, so that's where I sit. So as far as he knows, that's where I've sat all my life. So when I'm not sitting there, he sits in my seat and he says, I'm grandpa. Okay? Now, when somebody does that, all right, now I'm learning that, you know, if I want to eat some ice cream, I need to do it in the daytime where I can burn it off, or else it shows up on my sugar when I test it. So I eat it during the day, but now if he sees me eat it, now what? He wants it. So now I have to begin to watch that I don't do that. So what's Paul saying here? He says, all things are lawful. Let me see if I can find it in my notes here. Huh? That word is, it's not the normal word for law. The normal word for law is nomos. And if you have your law, no law in you, your animos, animosity, you heard that word before, means you have no law in you. Judging you or keeping you out of trouble. So, that word lawful is, it's the word exon, 1832. It means it is right through the idea of being in public. Okay? And it's the word, it comes from the word ex, meaning out or from, and then the word imi, which is the word which means I am. Okay? So it's actually the word exousia, which means the same thing. It means something that comes out of I am. Okay? So who's I am? Well, I am me. But the Lord refers to himself constantly as I am. Jesus referred to himself many times as I am. Where it says, I am he, forget the he. It ain't in the original. He just said, I am. And he's walking across the water. Ego imi. It is I. It literally means, I am that I am. So when they heard that, they knew who it was coming across the water. So, inside of me, is it lawful for me to do a certain thing? Yeah, I am. It's lawful in public. But if it causes someone to stumble and you find that out, then it's, you know, Paul says, you know, later on in the several of the chapters, he's talking about offering things unto idols and whatnot, and is it okay? Yeah, because it's okay to eat things offered to idols because they're nothing. They're not anything. But you know that. But now somebody else sees it, and it offends them because they don't have that understanding yet. A little child doesn't have the same understanding as an older person. So we have to constantly be on the lookout that we don't stumble people. And if you take the attitude that I don't care about them, then you're losing something there. You're not picking up on who Jesus was and what he was about. Okay? You're going to love that person so much you're going to do whatever it takes to get them over that. In the meantime, you're not going to flaunt it just because it's lawful for you. And that's a hard thing to do, but when you start looking at it from the point of view of love, it's not that difficult to see what you're up to. Sometimes you got to lay down who you are and what you want to be and what you want to do for somebody else's. And Paul was willing to do that to the nth degree. For the weak, I'm weak. For a Jew, I'm a Jew. I don't care what. Whatever you need me to be, I'll be that so you can get into this and stay in it. It was that important to him to get people to understand who God was, what the plan was, what the gospel was about, the good news. We don't have to die. We can get out of this sinful nature. We don't have to be servants to this sin anymore. Because people will just bumble along. They don't even know they're in a problem. Jesus is the answer. What's the question? They don't know. When I jumped in the water to get my grandson out when he was drowning, I pull him up and he goes, "What happened?" He didn't even know he needed to be saved. Okay? But somebody was out there that saw he was in trouble. Somebody's out there that saw you were in trouble. They said something to you. Something clicked. Maybe it was just the Lord. He didn't even use anybody. Who knows? Everybody has a different story. Isn't it great? So all these things are lawful, but it doesn't mean we're going to just, you know, do what we want. It always bugs me when I see these basketball players or somebody like that, they get caught doing something scandalous. And they tell them, "These kids are looking up to you for an example." "Well, I don't want them to." "Oh, but when you throw in the basket, you want everybody to cheer. You want everybody to set you up on a pedestal, but you don't want to be an example to them." Something wrong there, isn't there? Look at me, look at me, look at me. Don't look at me, don't look at me, don't look at me. Well, we can't be both. It's look at me, but look at him. When you see me, I want you to see him. I don't want you to see me. Okay? So, anyway, and he says that all things are lawful, but they're not expedient. That word expedient, I'll tell you what it means in the Greek, and then I'll tell you what it means in a dictionary. And sum fero, whenever you see the word sum or sun, it means together. Okay, a sin, we would say sin, S-Y-N. The U's always turn into a Y in the Greek into English. A synagogue is an assembly, a place you meet together. Okay, and any time you see that word, it means together. So, it means an advantage, or be better for, or be good, or profitable. And it comes from that sun word, together. In Pharaoh, to bear or carry or come together. Move together. And sometimes moving together isn't pleasant. That same word means let her drive. Do you remember that? Do you remember where you hear that comment? It says, let her drive. When Paul was on that ship, going to Rome, and it got caught in a storm. Huh? They couldn't make it do what they wanted. So they took the sails down and they let her dry. Go where you want. We can't control you, so take us along with you and let us, wherever we end up at. And he trusted in God. Okay? A lot of times we're not in control of a situation. And so what do? Let God have the steering wheel and let her drive. Okay? So that word expedient, sometimes you have to go along with something you don't want to go along with. I'd rather have a nice big bunch of spare ribs, but Sister So-and-so is going to mess that up. And so I go along with it. I let her drive and let the Lord take his course in it so that something good comes out of it. It didn't cost me nothing, really, because I loved her enough that I didn't want her to be offended. And I wanted her to not get knocked off course because of some stupid thing I did that I didn't have to do. And so we went together, okay? We were carried along. We came together. All these different things. We moved together. And I was not in control of the situation. But God was. And so if you look at it like that, I mean, I forget the number. Was it 256 souls or something were saved with Paul? Okay? I mean, those boys went through something. It's hard for us to imagine. We can watch something on TV, the big wave. When you see them big suckers bigger than this church coming at you, and all you are in is a stick floating underwater, or in my case, a big razor blade. When you see waves like that, and you see them for 2 weeks straight, oh, I wouldn't have made it, man. For a Navy guy, I was seasick a lot. I was glad they put me on a big Cadillac aircraft carrier because it didn't go up and down like them little cork things did. But when you get saved from something like that, you know you've been through something. And when you know it was all because of God and nothing else, he made sure they knew it was nothing else. They didn't have every last thing that they would have had. Lifeboats. They threw everything over the side to lighten the ship, the cargo, the tackle, took the sails down. And then it says they just wished for the day. They gave up as far as any hope. But Paul didn't. He said, "The angel of the Lord stood by me today." And so we have to understand the angel of the Lord is standing by us. Whatever situation we're being driven in like that, you have no control over it. But you do. Because you have the living God standing at your side. So the angel of the Lord stood by me this day. Okay? Who was that angel of the Lord? It wasn't Michael. It wasn't Gabriel. It wasn't none of them. It was Jesus. That's who stood by him and told him that everybody was going to be saved if they stayed in the ship. They had to cut loose them life. I never could understand that lifeboat thing. If the big one's going down, what's that little one going to do for you? You know? If they told me I had to get in a lifeboat, I'd go, "Oh, gosh. If this big thing didn't make it, how's this little one going to make it through the storm?" So, put your trust in the Lord and don't look at second options, plan Bs, or none of that kind of stuff. It's not there. He only has a plan A. He doesn't need a backup plan. Nothing can change his plan. Nothing has the power to move him off of square one. Nothing has the power to move you off. Okay? Paul says that none of these things move me. He said it several times. David in the Psalms said several times, Anybody who thinks this way cannot be moved. And if you think about it, can you be moved? And a lot of things, you know, somebody might say you're stubborn. Well, maybe I'm steadfast in the Lord. Now, you have to be careful because sometimes you might be stubborn and think you're steadfast in the Lord. But he'll let you know. And so this word, sumphero, it means something that eventually will be profitable or advantageous, or you'll be better for it, or it'll be good. Okay? And that connotation, like I said, is you're going to go along with something you're not in control of. Because God wants you to. Okay? God puts you in the situation, and he's going to cause it to come out right. And you know, the story goes on with Paul that they were building a fire and a snake bit him. And he just shook it off in the fire. He put his hand in, you understand, he put his hand in the fire because he could take it, but the snake couldn't. And the snake had to let go. And they said, well, this man must be really bad because he survived all this and then he dies from a snake bite. And then when he should have swole up, nothing happened. They go, changed their mind. He must be a god. Oh, well, isn't that what he just said? That we're going to judge angels? The word judge is God. Know ye not that ye are gods and that ye shall judge angels? Holy mackerel. That's a... Have you wrapped that, your head around that yet? Okay? And they got mad at him because he tried to make himself equal with God. And really, he never did. He just said, I'm the Son. And they got mad at him and crucified him for that. So, you know, it's no wonder that we have a hard time wanting to think that. You're not going to be him. You're not going to be God. But boy, you're going to be everything you can up to that. Just like Joseph, he said, in all things in this kingdom, they have to come to you. Only in the things of the kingdom will they have to come to me. But in everything else, they got to come to you. I don't even want to be bothered with it. It's your thing. So when people say, why does God allow this to happen? I say to them, why do you allow it to happen? He gave you and me all power on this earth. If it's happening and it's wrong, it's because we're not doing something. And we have to find out that there's more power when we're together than when we're a lone ranger. One chases 1,000, two chases 10,000. Okay? We go up exponentially. And so it's a body. And we all have to come in agreement, and then we all have to begin to speak in agreement. The one thing the Lord reminded me of it the other day, all these religions that started out with these people handling snakes, because it says they'll pick up serpents. Okay? That's all it says. They'll pick up serpents. They'll take up serpents, it says. Then there's a semicolon, which in Greek is a period. The next thing, they'll take poison and it'll not hurt them, has nothing to do with the snakes. In fact, that Greek word there for snakes isn't the word for a snake. It's a word for like a snaky person. Okay? And it literally means we'll remove them from office. Now, how do we do that? Go get a 90 millimeter and shoot them out of office? No. We pray them out of office. We have the authority. This is one of the things. This shall follow them that believe. They'll take up serpents. It means we will remove them. Okay? So, if you think we got somebody in office, I mean, we got a vote. They didn't have a vote. They had to wait for the guy to croak or somebody to assassinate him. And so, we got power we don't even use. And so if we think we need somebody out of power, all we got to do is pray. And who knows what the Lord will do? Nobody's immune from a heart attack. And they can't put you in jail for him having a heart attack. You know, he could have a big scandal. He could have all kind of things happen to him. Okay? Sennacherib went back home and his sons killed him. And you know, Herod killed James. Next thing you know, Herod gave a great speech and everybody said, this is the voice of a god. And all of a sudden his insides got ate out from worms. Wow, what's that about? Huh? Yeah. And so, you know, the Lord can work in a lot of areas that we can't operate in without getting ourselves in trouble. But he wants us to move him. One of the prophets says, command ye me. You know, and I don't take that to mean that we boss him around, but I do take it to mean that we aim it. Where's the problem? What does it need to be aimed at? The authority. Okay? That's what I think he's saying there. And I'm going to get into this, but really I need to wait till next week. But what Paul's really trying to do here is to get us to see who we are and begin to behave in a like manner and not fake it. When I say behave, I mean this becomes you. What was that thing you were talking about that time about being clothed over? It wasn't like you put a coat on. It's like you put a coat on and it grows and becomes, you know, you and it grow together and you become that. Okay, whatever it is you're putting on the mind of Christ, you're putting on this new creation man. Okay, it's not something you can put on and, you know, I put this shirt on, but I can unbutton it and take it off. This is becomes you. Okay? Dry clean only. But it's you. You're putting on something that is becoming who you are. And he wants the I am that he is to become the we are. When Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. Right? Now, if you remember your English, whenever you have a sequence like that, in him we move, and it's understood, in him we live, in him we have our being. But that word have our being is really we are. Okay? So over here you got I am, you are, he is, we are, you are, there. That's conjugation of the verb to be, right? I am. Plural of that is we are. In him, we are. Okay? I've been overdue to write this book, but it's about I am. But it's so big that I keep researching, and every time I read, even, I'm coming across more and more things. And that's what I want to incorporate in the book is as much scripture as I can about I am, and we are, and he is. Okay? It is I. He was saying, I am. And so there's so many places in the Bible where that I am was key. It hits hard if you see it. Whenever you see that word I am, I don't even care if it's somebody else saying it. It still has him in it. When he was looking for somebody to send, Isaiah was standing before him and he put the coals on his lips and all that stuff that happened. And he said, he's looking for somebody to send. He goes, here am I. Send me. What was he saying? I'll represent you, God. I'll represent the I am. Send me. When they came to get him, who you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he, it says. There's no he there. That's just to make it grammatically correct in English. All he said was, I am. And they fell backwards. I always wonder why they got up and tried to still take him. Must have just been a quick... I know it was, because if Peter revealed to them all he was right then and there, would have killed him. They would have died. And that wasn't what he was there to do. But he goes on to begin to say, meats for the belly. Oh, yeah, meats for the belly and belly for meats. But God shall both shall destroy, or he shall bring to naught, okay, both it and them. I always wondered what he was talking about, but basically what he was saying was, okay, you got food here, right? You got a belly here, right? Well, they're made for each other. The food wants, your belly wants the food, and when the food gets in there, the belly knows what to do with it. But there will come a day when that's gone. You won't need to eat anymore. And if we do it, who knows how it will happen. But we won't have all this gastrointestinal disorders and all this other stuff that goes along with it. He came back, you know, and he ate some broiled fish and honey. Perfect assimilation. Didn't have to get rid of anything else. But that wasn't his point. His point was, there's a purpose for everything. The purpose of food is to go in your belly. The purpose of your belly is to tear down the food and make it break it down. Okay? I remember Brother Varner had this thing, had, I think, 7 little blurbs, but I only remember the first 3. He said, everything, number one, everything has a purpose. Everything. Number 2 was, we don't always know what the purpose is. Number 3 was, because we don't always know what the purpose is, we have a tendency to abuse it. So, you would say, yes, we have a tendency to abuse eating. I mean, the whole nation is, you know, the minimum of 30 pounds overweight and what have you. And some of it has to do with our habits, but some has to do with the way they make food nowadays. They make it to addict you. Did you know that? There's certain foods that, potato chips in particular, I know, has a thing in it when you break it down. It actually makes you want to eat more of them. But you can't eat just one. There's a reason why. Okay? So, I mean, potato chips... If there was one thing I could eat, that would be it. You know, I love them, but right now, don't eat them. So, there's a purpose there, and he's trying to get across. You have a purpose, but sometimes we lose sight of what the purpose is. And later on in this here verse, I'm not going to go into it deep tonight, but he said, now the body is not for fornication. Oh, I thought it was, you know. Some people think that's what it's for. That's the only purpose of it. But the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Okay, are you following his drift now? And the Lord for the body. That's his purpose. And God hath both raised up the Lord... And will, the word also ain't there, but it can be there, don't matter. And will raise up us by his power. Okay? And he's going to go in next week, we'll get into that because... But to understand that there was a purpose for all this. Everybody thinks, you know, the body's going to go to the grave and everything else from there on spiritual. Well, too bad because... He's going to give you a new body. I guess you don't. Some people don't want it, but I'll take one. I want all the upgrades and all the new cards and what have you. if you want. But not only is it going to be a new body, but the whole earth is going to be a new body. A new body of people. And think about it. I was thinking about it today. You know, some of us still have some cranky stuff hanging around on us. But by and large, if I had to spend a year marooned on an island, I'd like it to be with you guys. And, you know, just think of the whole earth as that island and everybody on it thinking like God. Everybody. There'd be no controversy. There'd be no... Nobody wanting to kill nobody. Nobody wanting to steal nothing. Nobody trying to lie about you to get an advantage on you. Nobody trying to stab you in the back. Even the animals don't want to bite you. Nice little mosquito. Huh? Think about it. Your kids can walk outside. Nobody's going to try to kill them. Nobody's going to try to steal them. They can sit on a hole of an asp and it won't bite them. They can have a lion for a pet. I always talk about my keys. Won't have to have all them keys. I won't even need a car. Won't need insurance. I want to be over there. I need to be over there. God says I need to be over there. There I am. I mean, you can let your mind go if you're like me. I mean, we've got so much burden on us. We don't even, if it was all taken off us right now, we'd float away. We don't even realize how much stress and strain we're under. It's needless. In a earth that's run by God, a lot of this stuff. Notice my new hearing aid? Yeah. Won't need them. All my teeth will be nice and shiny, and no fillings, no missing ones. These are just some of the little, these are the things I'm imagining. He says, God, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for them who love him. I'm just seeing the stuff I can see. Having a heart of God toward people and seeing them lifted up out of all the different things that eventually they're not going to be there anymore. I mean, we were born under sin. Just think when people are being born not under sin. They're born right away without that nature. No. They already have a heart toward God. And they're not even grown up yet. I think it was a few years ago I heard on the radio that they're up to 12,000 named diseases now. They got names for 12,000 diseases. There's at least 12,000 diseases out there to get you. Not to mention car crashes and buses hitting you and something like that. Yeah. Anything, just diseases. 12,000. I don't know how many of them they think they can cure. But God's saying, that's not your heritage. That's not what I put you here for, to catch something and die, go to heaven. If that was the case, you don't need to go through all that. You can just up and die. You just, Jessica has to go to a funeral Sunday. Her sister-in-law's baby lived 1 hour the other day. They knew it was going to die. But it was born, they took it cesarean, and it lived 1 hour. And they named it and baptized it, and now they have to bury it. And, you know, there might be some people that say, that kid's got it made. But that wasn't God's purpose for that. It's not his purpose for any of us. He wants us to grow up in him, become like him, become a son, and go out and do the Father's work. And when all that's done that we can see, when the whole earth, when there's nobody left to say, know the Lord, for they shall all know him. There's more to it. All we know is what's here, and but what's beyond this? That's what I want to find out. So I'm going to hang around a while and find out how it ends.